Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
This is primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can of kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready?
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the ALNA Sportsbook. Watch the games in the region's largest video wall and wager on your team at the ALNA Sportsbook.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Friday. Joe Harrington coming up in about 30 minutes. I've been exploring the cell phone radiation story.
Are we all going to die?
That you discussed?
Yeah.
Well, in a stunning turn of events on internet, I can find either side of the of the coin here.
So one, it's giving us all testicular and brain cancer, and the other side, it cures AIDS.
No, because it's just so new
that
we don't know. I mean, they don't really know the full effects,
don't they?
Right.
Don't
well, they don't because
they
we have it hasn't been around long enough.
Yeah.
But so what they say is that
they know
they phrase it this way. It's all about how they phrase it. It says the bulk of scientific evidence says that cell phone radiation does not harm humans. But then you go to the other side of the coin and you realize that the telecommunications industry is in complete control of the FCC and lobbies Congress with hundreds of millions to the point where they have stopped researching this.
Nice. Look, they're doing the Trump method, which is if you don't test, which, by the way, was brilliant. If you don't test, you don't have it. I know lots of people that are like that nowadays. Like, how many people do you know that if you get a little sniffle, you start feeling a little bad? Like, people are like, well, I'm not testing because if I got it, then I'm screwed. I got to stay home. So, hey, it's we don't research it, then no problems. No problems here.
But there are scientists who do believe that it is harmful and we need to study more.
They will be discredited.
That's right.
Or they will be thrown down an elevator
shaft. That's
right. You imagine, I'm being dead serious on this. You imagine if you're some, you know, you're working at whatever, like some biotech firm. You're doing some research, and you find out definitive proof. You're like, hey, like cell phones, worse than anything we've ever seen before. Like, this is 100% killing us. And if you had that information, you really think you'd be safe? Dead serious. Would you feel comfortable having that? Because I don't want to be the one that holds that info.
Well, what do you mean? Like, so I had to just hold on to it.
What do you do with it?
Well, I release it to the media. Yeah.
How quickly your life would be ruined. You would be drugged through the mud.
It's societal good.
You would be called a quack. Your life would be ruined. You would never work again. And if you tried to run it up your flagpole and someone up top found out about it, I have no doubt that you would get shoved in front of a truck.
Well, I hope I wouldn't be shoved in front of a truck, but I think that I would have a societal duty to discuss.
And yet it would never work because you would just be one idiot screaming into the abyss.
Hey, I will eventually be proven right if I was right.
Yeah, that'll feel real good when you're lying in your grave because, again, you got shoved in front of the truck.
You know, Jason, for some of us, it is not hard to do the right thing. Apparently for you, it is.
That's a whole thing. There are some things that are too big to fail, and I would assume that the telecommunication industry is one of those things.
All right, where were we before you pooped all over us again?
What did I poop on?
What are we pooping on?
I don't think I pooped on anything.
Oh, Super Bowl sexy time next.
Oh, okay.
Just a little Super Bowl primer for you guys.
All right, a little taste
Of
the Kelsey Bowl.
Well, I'm going to Vegas, so I will not be here on Monday. So we'll only have four shows together to discuss the Super Bowl next week.
Okay.
And we haven't even gotten into the Super Bowl.
No one really has. I mean, we've kind of, like, in general, I feel like the media kind of does the same thing as the NFL. We take, like, a moratorium because there's only so much Super Bowl talk you can have. So this
it's an
week,
interesting Super Bowl, though.
It is an interesting Super Bowl. Like, but I haven't heard, and I listen to a lot of NFL chatter. I listen to NFL podcasts and read stuff, and I still haven't seen a lot of breakdown. In fact, I think I've seen more stuff on coaching movement, free agency, quarterback landing spots, the Senior Bowl. I've heard more about that stuff this week than I have the actual game itself. Now, next week, that'll change, and you know, everyone will descend upon Phoenix, and they'll get the proper coverage of it. But I just don't think there's been a lot of that. I think I've heard more Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady coaching stuff.
Joey Harrington, 5:30. We will discuss Chinese spy balloons in the club. And apparently the aliens have spoken.
Oh.
Okay, Mike Lynch, heard from him today.
Yeah, the other day I got one off. Did you get it over The Last of Us?
No, this was a text message regarding, he and I have bonded over aliens in space.
Oh, he sent me one about The Last of Us. He was crying because he has a heart and a soul over that episode 3.
Yeah, kind of a weenie.
He loves it.
All right, I think we're ready to go with the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, jolly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Number five.
That aggravated menacing case against Bengals running back Joe Mixon has been dropped.
Oh!
He is in the clear for now.
Well, they did say that they're open to refiling it. They just said that more information needs to be gathered. It feels like right now it's a little bit of a he said, she said thing.
It appears one of the front runners for the Colts head coaching gig is Giants defensive coordinator Wink Martindale.
Oh.
He's conducting a third round of interviews now.
The Winker. So someone got to Jim Irsay and told him it's a terrible idea to hire Jeff Saturday. Because the report was that Irsay wanted to just hire Jeff Saturday.
Why do they need a third round of interviews?
I don't know. Because someone's trying to convince Jim Irsay to not hire Jeff Saturday.
That's all I have for number one. Okay. Or I mean number five.
That's number one.
Number four.
Texas and Oklahoma unlikely to join the SEC early in 2024.
Yeah, they were trying to make that happen, but there's a lot of money involved and the talks fizzled out.
Yeah, they say talks have stalled. They'll likely move in 2025. Scuttlebutt here is that Fox wants significant TV inventory trades with ESPN if they go early because they'd be losing major programming, and they can't figure that out. So, Bama has a new offensive coordinator. They hired Notre Dame offensive coordinator Tommy Rees.
Yeah.
Well, he's the dude. Do you know his claim to fame?
Tommy Rees.
He's the dude who was on video screaming at Drew Pine, "Do your effing job."
I remember that.
He'll fit right in
Alabama. They need a defensive coordinator, too. I don't think they've hired one of those either.
Really?
No. They lost both coordinators.
I didn't know.
Well, I feel like they lose coordinators just...
Every year. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, and it hasn't really made an impact. I thought there was some talk about maybe Jeremy Pruitt coming back and being the coordinator there, but he's facing a... Well, nothing, because he's facing a bunch of...
Number three.
...charges when he was at Tennessee. He's got, like, 28 major violations, so... That may not necessarily work out, but you know, Jim Leonard was another name that popped up. But for all the outside coordinators that he's brought in, all the defensive guys have been Saban guys. Like, he likes to bring in people under that umbrella. So
maybe he'll hire Belichick.
What are you doing, Bill? Come on down.
Lakers and Jazz have had exploratory trade discussions about Russell Westbrook. Utah, 8th in the West. Lakers, 12th. Blazers say Yusuf Nurkic will remain out through the All-Star break with that calf injury. The All-Star game, if you're wondering, is February 19th. Washington is pounding the Blazers tonight. That Blazers defense showed up again. They are down 69-51 to the Wizards at half.
Now, to be fair, the Wizards have won like 6 in a row, and they're actually playing pretty well. And look, they're just coming off that win in Memphis. You can't expect them to play well in back-to-backs.
You know who the Blazers' leading scorer is right now?
Eubanks!
No, it's Damian Lillard. But after that, it's Trenton Watford.
Hey, there you go. Your new backup center?
Number two. He has 13.
Number
Blazers
two.
Blazers fans going to want to lock him up stat.
Grant's back, though, from the concussion. What's he doing?
19 minutes, 3 points. Yeah. A minus 18. Yikes.
Whoops.
Isn't that funny how, like, Grant can be minus 18 and be sucking it up? Lillard can have 17 points and be minus 18.
Yeah.
Because he is.
Yeah.
So like the bench apparently is buoying them this evening. With Trenton Watford.
Actually, Watford is the only player off the bench that scored a single point.
Watford, yeah. Trenton Watford.
No one else has a single point off the bench.
Yeah, he's hogging them all. Broncos, they have a strong defense, but they may now need a defensive coordinator as Ahiro Ibero, their current DC, may be leaving. Apparently, he's close friends with Nathaniel Hackett, and he refused to take the interim job when Hackett was fired. So Sean Payton getting the Broncos job, he's actively trying to keep him, but they've also now requested interviews with Brian Flores and Seahawks associate head coach Sean Desai.
Well, it's a weird thing, too, because the Broncos were actively trying to get Vic Fangio to come on board before they even fired their DC, so that's a weird situation there.
Number one.
And number one, Nets guard Kyrie Irving has requested a trade.
What? Not again.
Yes, he could not. He just can't live drama-free.
No. He's done so well this year, and he's actually having a really nice year. And Brooklyn is having a nice year, and he's kept them afloat with Durant being hurt. But apparently they couldn't come to an agreement on a contract because, well, he wants a max contract. And Brooklyn doesn't want to do it. They wanted to give him a bunch of incentives, and he told them to go pound sand. But I guess you can make the argument that it was nice that he said, trade me or I'm going to walk for nothing.
According to Shams Shamgod, Irving has told the team that he prefers to be moved before the trade deadline, which is next week, or he will leave in free agency, as you said. Brooklyn, fourth in the East. They are 31-20. They're actually not.
Yeah.
Woj reports there were talks on a new deal, but Kyrie, they were incentive-laden, yeah. And he just he didn't like that, and so they pissed him off, and he said even if they gave him a max deal right now, he would not sign it.
Well, the problem that we have in the NBA is this, is you got jackwagons like this that are supremely talented, but the amount of money now with these max deals that you have to commit to these guys, who wants to commit to 5 years and, God, whatever it is, $280 million to Kyrie Irving when you never know on a day-to-day if he's going to show up or decide to implode your team? I mean, but I guess a team like L.A. who's desperate, well, call them the Lakers.
Super Bowl sexy time followed by Joey Harrington coming up on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the A&A Sportsbook.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Joey Harrington will join us coming up next. Talk a little Ducks recruiting. Tom Brady, does he think Tom Brady is really done? Super Bowl, Philly, Kansas City. Good matchup.
Great matchup.
We will have all of next week to talk about it. I did see, though, that because I was wondering who's going to broadcast the game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who's broadcasting the game?
What channel is it on?
This year, it is NBC.
NBC.
Yeah. So that would give it away.
Yeah. That's
this doesn't rotate.
Yeah, the Super Bowl rotates around, right?
I thought it did. This year, it's going to be Al Michaels.
And Chris Collinsworth.
And Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah.
I saw a list of the...
which, by the way...
Top NFL analyst salaries.
I love Michaels and Collinsworth. I have no issue with that.
Yeah. Michaels has been raked over the coals lately because he's pretty low T now.
I dig him. I personally think Buck and Aikman are my favorite, but I got no issue with Michaels and
You know, Al Michaels is 77.
Is he really?
Yeah, so some are saying this may be his last game.
And get ready to bow out.
Well, he hates the chatter of him. How dare you criticize the great Al Michaels? He's getting pissed off at internet trolls.
Well, I get it. Like, you know, Tirico's coming on his heels. And, you know, don't leave Al Michaels alone. He's a gall darn national treasure.
I want to say Al Michaels is a free agent.
Is
too.
He?
I think so.
Well, I don't know. I mean, at 77, at some point, right?
Didn't he sign with... Didn't he sign with Amazon? Wait, am I crazy?
Are you okay?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm okay.
Why did he sign? I mean, he's doing the NBC games.
Yeah, but I thought he signed.
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, he's Amazon now, so he's not doing the game. What is going on here? Hold on, I may have the wrong Super Bowl.
Are you okay?
No.
I mean, I know that the Prime deal allowed Al Michaels to still do NBC games. Not like every week, obviously, but, you know, the playoff game that he did during the wild card round. And then I don't know who's calling it this year, but he was still allowed to do stuff outside of the Prime.
Yeah, but
stuff.
They were the Amazon guys, though, weren't they?
Yeah, him and Kirk Herbstreit.
Or him and Herbie, not Collinsworth. That's right.
No, him and Herbie.
So Michaels
did
both.
A year.
Okay, the announcers for this year's game are Burkhart and Greg Olsen.
Oh, they're doing the Super Bowl?
Oh, that's the travesty is Greg Olsen could get pushed out after 1 year. People really like him, and Tom Brady retiring could push him out of the booth.
We're getting a lot of Rob's an idiot, Fox has it.
I am an idiot. Fox has it, not NBC. NBC had it last year.
Okay.
That was the story I was looking at, so I had the wrong story. But, so it's Olsen and Aaron Andrews and Burkhart and all those.
Which, Burkhart and Olsen are great, but yeah, there was, in fact, I saw in the Sports Business Journal, there was an article, and now, you know, of course, you know, they're trying to deny it. CBS and is trying to deny it and saying that it's not true. But the whole thing was about how they're unhappy with Tony Romo and that there's a ton of booth tension between Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. They don't get along.
I told you.
They tried to stage it. This is just a report that they tried to stage an intervention with Tony Romo before the season to try to correct it. And Tony Romo was like, nope, screw you. I'm going to do it my way. And that Al Michaels is not interested in helping out Tony Romo, that Al Michaels loves
Jim Nantz.
Or excuse me, yeah, Jim Nantz is not interested in helping out. I guess at the beginning, Nantz was a little more willing to work with Romo, but then, you know, everything became Romo, 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 and Nantz didn't like it. And so, you know, at least according to this article, and they seem to be pretty well connected, that there is some serious trouble.
He's terrible.
In Romo and
Tony
Nantz
Romo land. Has, well, first of all, you can tell Nantz hates him.
Yes.
Second, Romo has gotten infinitely worse.
Well, apparently his bosses think so too.
Well, who doesn't think that? If you have ears,
yeah.
Romo is, it's weird. It's bad.
Yeah. So there, the idea of him being booted, it's...
You know how much money he makes? So I have a list of the top salaries.
He's like a $20 million a year guy, right?
So you know these are just the analysts,
yeah,
not the play-by-play guys?
I'm assuming Romo's number one.
No.
No?
He's not.
Who's number one? Aikman? Herb?
Herbie's last. Okay, so I'll tell you who I have on this list.
Okay.
One, two, three, four, five. There are six guys on this list. Herbie is sixth. He only makes a measly $10 million.
Only.
That's it.
But that's just with the NFL? Because he's got his college stuff, too.
This is NFL.
Okay, so he makes a measly 10, but then think about all the money he makes off ESPN doing the college football stuff. I'll bet you Herbie's making 15, 20 mil easy.
Herbie at 10, Olsen 10.
Okay.
Collinsworth 12.
All right,
that's more than we thought.
Yeah, well, years ago that we had this list, we talked about it, and Collinsworth was only making like 5 or 6.
Romo, 18.
Yeah.
Aikman, 18.
All right.
Tom Brady, 37 and a half.
Well, we didn't even think about that because technically he hasn't done it yet.
But that's his deal. 10 years, $375 million.
That blows my mind.
That's double He hasn't even done it, and that's double what Aikman and Romo make in a year.
Imagine never having done something before, and someone is willing to pay you double what anyone else in your industry makes. Like, you gotta, like, that's gotta be the dumbest deal of all time. You have no idea if he's gonna be good or not. And you threw $37 million.
Boy, doesn't that just show you how much money they make on those broadcasts?
Yeah, you just gotta be crapping money. You're like, whatever. Because you couldn't get Peyton Manning. They offered Manning all that money and he said no. And so someone was like, I don't know, just up it and see if we can get Tom Brady. And I mean, Tom Brady seems like a good guy, but does anyone, like, I'm not certain that Brady's going to be great at that. Like, Manning to me is a sure thing. There's no way Manning wouldn't be good at that. I've never seen Tom Brady, like, in any sort of role like this. I remember he did Saturday Night Live once, and it was very wooden and a little awkward. He was all right, but, like, does Tom Brady strike you as the most, like, outgoing, like, personality alive? Or is it just because it's Tom Brady?
Well, he's handsome. So he's made for TV.
Well, but even then, most 90% of the time, we don't see you. We just hear you.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would imagine he's pretty good at it, but I don't know. Really? Just like you said.
$37 million.
Who's his agent?
Don't know. Probably someone very, very rich. I'm guessing he's rep by one of those big agencies.
Is it that Don Yee guy?
Don't know. Couldn't tell you.
You remember him?
I do remember him.
He was a big deal in Inflategate and all that.
Yeah. There's a handful.
Yeah. It is Don Yee, still his agent. Dude, that guy's raking it in.
Well, Don
Brady's making more money from broadcasting than he ever did playing football. We had that story yesterday.
Yeah.
$375 on the broadcasting deal, $333 in football. That's unbelievable.
It's freaking ridiculous. No one's offering me that.
Why would they offer you that?
Well, I want to do color. Let's
You're
go.
You're no Tom Brady.
No, I'm no Tom
Look
Brady.
At the case of supposed is on you.
I would do it for $37.50 in a fun-size Snickers bar. Let's go.
Well,
and that's not true because the sad part is, like, in our world, you get offered to do, like, some play-by-play stuff for, like, locals, and it's, boy, I'll tell you
what'd you get offered? The hops?
You got to start at the bottom.
Hillsborough hops?
No. Just some of the locals.
Is that your Jordan? Aren't you the former?
I was the MC, and yeah. I probably got paid about as much as I do here. Yeah. So yeah. All right.
What'd they offer you? What'd you get?
Oh, just for some of the local, smaller college football stuff.
Lewis and Clark?
And it's really not a lot of money. Like
what?
I think it's like $150 a game.
Wow. They love you more than me. I got $50 to call a high school playoff game a couple years ago.
And think about the prep work. If you want to do it right, think about the prep work that goes into it, and you got to drive, and it's an all-day thing, and you're like, wow.
You're doing an hour of prep for every person that listens.
Yeah, it's.
Was it Lewis and Clark?
Linfield?
Who was it?
No, it's just.
Are those games on the radio?
A lot of them now have, like, their internet broadcasts.
Internet.
There you go. It's not a.
There you go.
It's not a lot of money involved.
So Big Sook has never been offered the big NFL analyst gig.
No, and the college stuff, it's tough because they want players that played at.
See, I think you'd be good at that.
They want players that went there. You know.
Went where?
Well, if you're
you mean like we're home like with the Huskies, like Cam does the Huskies.
Yeah, Cam does the Huskies,
but I mean like a national thing.
Yeah, that's
where you can just do one game a weekend.
It's very challenging to get into that line of
work. Is it?
Yeah,
I think you'd be good at it.
I've explored it a couple of times, and it just has never.
It's hard. It's probably one of those. It's just hard to get in.
It is hard.
Once
to get
you're
in,
you can prove your chops and work your way up. But
it's a challenge to get in it. Absolutely.
So this is the fourth Super Bowl since 2000 with a spread of less than 3.
Run that by me again.
This is the fourth Super Bowl since 2000 with a spread of less than 3.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, most of the time there is a clear cut. And in this case, I do think there's a clear cut in Philly. But, both are number one seeds. I'm guessing that doesn't happen very often where you get both number one seeds.
Two of the three were double-digit blowouts.
Yeah. Who was it? Who do we think was going to be?
I don't know.
I was gonna say, I wonder who we thought were gonna be, you know, the close games.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Spread of less than a field goal. You would think the Super Bowl would be pretty tight every year. It's not.
No, I wouldn't.
Only 4 times.
Most of the time, there's usually, when you get to this point, there's a pretty clear cut team, and it doesn't always mean that there's going to, you know, that there's gonna be a blowout. But I mean, think about all the different Super Bowl matchups that you've seen, dude. They're not. they're not always great games. Like, no. You know, Atlanta will get in, or Carolina finds a way to get in, or
Bucks Chiefs Super Bowl sucked.
Yeah, like, and we thought that was going to be a good one, and you know, the Chiefs were the favorite in that, and the Bucks beat the brakes off.
That's
of them.
Right. I do remember, like, the leading up to that, we were like, oh, this is, what a great matchup.
Yeah.
And the Bucks dominated them.
It was absolutely whooped their ass, you know?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
And then, you know, I remember, like, when Brady won his first one, they were supposed to get their teeth kicked in by the greatest show on turf, yeah. Right? And they were going to get rolled. And
That was pretty compelling, though, because the Rams were just unstoppable. And the Patriots, I mean, it was just like they were the underdog at that time. Yep. And it was pretty compelling.
I remember Manning getting into the Super Bowl against the Seahawks, and that was the number one offense, like, in league history, right? And they were this unstoppable force.
Rams-Bengals was good.
Yeah, Rams-Bengals was good. I think this one has a chance to be good, but I'll tell you, I have a sinking feeling that I think Philly may take him to the woodshed.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I feel pretty confident that Philly's going to win this game. Look, anytime you got Mahomes and Andy Reid on the other side and Andy Reid with another week to prepare,
that's just it.
Look, I'm not going to sit there and say that, you know, that Kansas City can't win. I do think, though, that this is – I just think Philly is better almost across the board. I went through it early in this week. We talked about it with the exception of, you know, quarterback. And Jalen Hurts, by the way, is an MVP sort of guy this year. I think quarterback and tight end, I think outside of that, I think Philly has an advantage in every other position. I just think they're that much better than Kansas City.
I mean, I think everybody knows that. It's just that the X factors with one of the best coaches of all time in Andy Reid paired with one of the greatest quarterbacks going.
Absolutely.
Who's an X factor who just put his team on his back to get there.
Yep.
That versus the team with more hosses is a really compelling matchup. And you also have the whole storyline, and we'll get into more of this next week, but you have the whole storyline of the Eagles. You know, they beat Daniel Jones, Josh Johnson, and a one-armed Brock Purdy.
That is the easy, and with the bye, this is easiest with this ever.
Easiest path to the Super Bowl ever.
Ever.
And so there's that talking point that's like, well, how good are they?
Yeah.
I mean, they're loaded, but... prove it.
Yeah.
Prove it against Patty and Fatty. How about that? Anybody made that t-shirt yet?
Patty and Fatty.
Patty and Fatty.
You'd have the haircut on one and then the mustache on the other, just the outlines of it.
Yeah, and you got Super Bowl experience.
Yeah.
On Kansas City side. Well, and you know, they got punched in the mouth last time they were there. You know that. They're pissed about that.
Well, I think there's some question about Sirianni, too. Who was it? There was a player came out this week, and he was on a podcast. I forget who it was, but a current player, and said that, you know, Sirianni, basically, he gave him no credit. He said
It
was one of the Giants.
It was a Giants DB.
Yeah, that basically said, dude, you don't get any credit for this. Like, you were handed this, you know. And so they're certainly if you're talking about Sirianni versus Andy Reid, sure, I think there's a giant advantage there. But at the same time, Philly has been dominant all year.
But Sirianni hasn't flinched either. You know, that dude he has balls. Yes. He goes for it on fourth down and he sticks with it.
Yeah.
He hasn't made a lot of coaching errors, but it's easy when you win 69-14 in your two playoff games.
This will be different.
Yeah. Julian Love of the Giants said Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni is in for a free ride amid Super Bowl run.
I do like the openness that NFL players have now. You were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, I like it too.
Guys are a little more open to kind of be like, well, dude, F you.
Yeah,
like,
no on social media especially, they get at, like, did you see the Kayvon Thibodeau, was it?
Thibodeau's into it with everybody.
But he got into it with Joe Thomas.
Yeah, he got it, or not Joe Thomas, he got into it with.
Not Joe Thomas.
He got into it originally with Jeff Saturday, and then he got into it with Joe Staley.
Staley.
Yeah. He'll.
Who used to play offensive line for the Chiefs.
Well, he's going to be a Hall of Fame offensive lineman, and he dropped the I have no idea who you are sort of thing. So.
But I love that. I mean, these guys on social media, it's their accounts. I like they're getting it stirred up.
I do appreciate that Kayvon Thibodeau seems to not give a rip about anything.
Or doesn't know anything.
Yeah. I don't know.
He plays dumb a lot. He's like, I don't know who Joe Staley is. He did that with somebody else, too.
Jeff Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Who are you?
Yeah.
Well,
let's see. They're both. Well, one is a surefire Hall of Famer. The other one probably going in the Hall of Fame, too. And is is a current NFL head coach.
I'm
going
to start using that one.
Oh, who are you?
Who are you?
Who dis?
Who are you, Schultz?
Who dis?
Who are you, Suk?
Nobody.
What'd you do, Sukanik?
Well, that's fine against me, but when you're dealing with someone that's like a three-time All-Pro, six-time Pro Bowler, and going to be a Hall of Famer, and one of the better tackles over the last 20 years.
You're no Tom Brady.
You know, you should probably at least work a Google search before you. Yeah. And by the way, in his Twitter profile, you can see his photo of him in the Niners uniform. Yeah, just takes 3 seconds to Google that and be like, oh, he's actually pretty good.
Now, is that just Kayvon's ignorance, or is that kind of, I feel like that's just a lot of younger kids. Nothing happened before I was born today. Yeah. Anybody under the age of 25, no one existed before I did on this earth.
That's an interesting question. I would be curious to know how many young NFL players really do know the history and some of the players, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll bet you it's...
I would imagine they're more like Kayvon.
I was surprised when you run into guys how little they follow.
Yeah, they don't even watch the game that they play.
No, and this is just kind of across the board. It's
well, I don't listen to sports radio.
Maybe there's an element to that.
I'm a high-level athlete.
Well, kids today now, when we were growing up, kids today, there's so many other things. When we were growing up, like, what else did you have, man? Like, sports was kind of, you know, it was kind of the thing to do. And now kids.
Yeah, I get that.
There's a lot of other things, and guys are more concerned about building brands. And
I get that, but we went through this with young Mike Lynch when he was in here. There's a lot of very common things that he didn't know that's like, come on, dude, all of these excuses aside, you should know that.
Yeah.
You know?
They would tell you, okay, boomer. They just respond with that, and they don't care.
And then that's a giant in my face, and now what do I do?
Thibodeau seems to
go play shuffleboard.
Yeah, he seems to not give two Fs about what anyone thinks.
All right, Joey Harrington joins us next for his weekly visit, but first, Schultz with SportsCenter.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Football Friday with Joey Harrington. This will be our second to last Football Friday. Did you know that?
Hot Pro Bowl talk, I hope.
Yeah, Pro Bowl. Break it down.
Wait,
go.
Okay, this always gets me. You do this every year. You say this the last or the second to last. But you say Football Friday. But I think of it like the last show of the year. But then we switch to like story time and random garbage.
Correct.
Yes.
Gotcha. Exactly. So kind of like the content of the show for you like during the rest of the week.
Correct.
When I'm not on. Right?
That's right.
Gotcha.
It's the same thing. It's just branded differently. It's like when they run a sale and it's not really a sale, but we have to call it that. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things. It's just a repackaging. Keep it fresh and exciting.
Oftentimes football gets in the way, you know?
Football gets in the way of fun. That's kind of why I retired. You know?
Right.
I retired because I wasn't any good and no one wanted me to play anymore, but...
Well, that was in the script, though.
That was scripted.
When you got the script, were you upset that you didn't have more success in Detroit?
Well, you know, sometimes you just have to take one for the team.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? I am doing this for the overall financial value of the Cowboys and Bears organizations, because really, you know, Jerry Jones does not have enough money. So yeah, I was happy to do that. It was, you know, it was for the kids.
It's called team player right there.
Script.
Mm-hmm. Propping up the organization.
Yep.
Can you believe people think that?
I mean, I somewhat half heard. I didn't even, it was so asinine that I didn't even follow up to read it. Did Arian Foster, did he really actually say
no.
that?
No.
Or was it like some joke?
Yeah, it was a joke.
They were trolling. Okay. They were like, look how dumb people are. Like, we're going to say this. And they said it, like, on the podcast. They're like, you know, they told people, hey, this is a joke. Said it anyways. The clip, like, circulates around. And, of course, you know, the people that believe that it was scripted, you know, bought into it. Like, oh, absolutely. And then a bunch of NFL players, current players, caught onto it. And they started chiming in too, being like, yeah, like when I got my script, and before you know it, you know, there's a bunch of morons out there that actually believe, you know, that believe that.
You got to love morons. Yeah.
I don't think you do.
Well, the world's full of them now. And unfortunately, with the information that's so readily available, that's the problem, is it's like we've never been, more information has never been available. And you would think that would make you smarter. And in actuality, I think it kind of makes you dumber.
I concur 100%.
Well, you don't have to know anything anymore. It used to be you would have to seek out information. You'd have to seek it out and learn something.
Well, and you had to rely on somebody who was an expert.
Yeah.
Right, who actually was an expert. Like, hey, I have a PhD in X, or I've spent 20 years studying X. Now you can just say, well, you know, I read on the internet, and therefore I know as much as you do.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
100% is that we have now taken experts and we don't want to believe them. I have a buddy of mine that's a doctor, and he said it's the most infuriating thing in the world that he has people come into his office and tell them what is wrong with them. And he's like, well, no, that's not what's wrong with you. And they're like, yes, it is. I read blah, 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 or I know so-and-so. And he's like, well, here's some test results. Or this is why.
Cool, you go do you.
Yeah.
You know, and call me when you're dead.
And people will dig in their heels and just say, that's not what's wrong with me. And, you know, screw medical school and all that. It's like, hey, man, I read on WebMD.
Following the life and times of Joey Harrington on social media, were you playing piano at a signing day function?
I hosted the Oregon football signing day event on Wednesday evening. I did. And part of that, so it was signing night live, right? Our own version of SNL.
Okay.
And as part of that, I had to write and perform a monologue.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Wow. Improv.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It, I'm not going to lie. I think it went over pretty well. I'm not going to say, hey, I killed it. But I was happy with the way the performance went.
How long was it?
I'm gonna guess five 10 minutes,
okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little bit of a, you know, I won't say stand up, but you know, a few off the cuff kind of stuff, a little bit of scripted stuff, and then there was a video of Rob Mullins, which was hilarious, and he did a fantastic job. And then we kind of transitioned into, boy, that was just really inspiring. I wish there was a piano around because I just want to sing a song. And bing, there goes the spotlight, and, you know, off we go.
That's amazing. Do you get nervous for stuff like that?
Not anymore. It's actually kind of fun. Because here's the thing. I've gotten beyond the point where I worry about what people think.
Right. That's a key.
And honestly, like, that is the key. It's the irony of this whole thing is, in order to relax and be yourself and do well, you have to be able to make fun of yourself a little bit and not worry about what people think of you. Right. But if you're worried about what people think, then you're tight and you're not funny. It's the same as playing. It was my playing career, right? It was like, you know, I went in there in Detroit, and I remember having this this conversation with you know, I don't think he was a, yeah, I guess you'd call him a therapist, sports psychologist, where it was like, look, I'm trying so hard to play well for you that I'm just so uptight that it affects my performance. And it wasn't until I stopped actually caring what you thought about me. And I say you, teammates, fans, the city of Detroit. It wasn't until I actually stopped caring about that that I start playing well, right? Once I was able to let go of that tension, let go of that care, well, then I was actually able to play well. And by that time, everybody hated me, and so I just got traded anyway. So, you know, that's kind of how it goes.
So a little late, but yes, not caring what people think unlocks a lot of things in the world.
Well, I relate to that, just like what you were talking about playing, in that I always played really well against backups, and I even played well against, like, marginal starters, and those guys never worried me. But when I played against, like, Pro Bowlers or, you know, guys that were really good, I would get so nervous. I would do stuff that was that I would never in my right mind do. Like you'd be watching film and they're like, why did you do that? And you're like, oh, like nothing in there is like in any sort of technique that I've ever learned, that I've ever known. And you would think that when you played against much better people, you would be more technical, right? That you would go to what you know works. No, I went to some Johnny high school crap that I've would never do in a million years, and it was because I would get nervous. In my mind, I'd look across and be like, well, that's, you know, that's Warren Sapp. You know, that's Dana Stubblefield. And I'm like, well, what, you know, and then next thing you know, you're just, your head is planted squarely in your cheeks. That, the mental side of things and being able to relax is such an underappreciated component of trying to play at a high level.
And I love when people say, you know, oh, I could have done that, or why didn't he do that, right? Okay, so let me put 20 pounds of gear on you, eliminate, significantly hamper your sight lines, then put a 350-pound human across from you who can literally, and I've watched Sean Rogers at 350 catch an alley-oop and throw down a reverse dunk, who is one of the best athletes that you've ever met, who is going to physically harm you, and now I want you to perform using these mental tech, you know, these things that you have learned, and I want you to recall them in a span of about 2.1 seconds. Go, oh, too late, you're injured.
Yeah, but on that note, shouldn't Joseph Asai, shouldn't he just be able to pull up? I mean, yeah.
Why'd you touch the quarterback,
man? That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No, it was. And it was just, that is literally one of those moments where you just, you brain fart, yeah. You know, like you, and of course you have to fault him. Like there, like you, it is his fault. He did it. And I say that because you can't fault a guy for his effort, right? Like, if it was, and I know I'm sitting here and saying this removed, having no vested interest in this game, and feeling sorry for the kid because I know how much it meant to him. So this is different than, you know, I say you have to feel sorry for him, and then I think, well, I'm sure there's a lot of people in Cincinnati who don't feel sorry for him. You got to pull up. You have to. You can't touch him. And there is no, you know, back to the old scripted thing. You know, there was no conspiracy. There was no referee screwing that one up. He was a full two steps out of bounds, and you pushed him. And those are the kind of mistakes, literally the kind of mistakes that coaches talk about in pregame, postgame interviews. Like that's the one penalty. That's the one turnover. That's the one, like, because that's the difference in the NFL and why there are so many one possession games. Like, you don't see blowouts in the NFL like you do in college football, right? There are the haves and the have nots in college football. When in the NFL, everybody is a have. Right. So it is truly that one brain fart, that one interception, that one mistake that determines the outcome of the game. And unfortunately, that was it.
Well, and you think about, like, you know, so the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. I mean, had that not happened, it probably goes to overtime 99%.
Right.
Right. But right. Like, say they lose that game, but then you go back and you look at D4 jumping off sides and Kansas City doesn't go to a Super Bowl and Tom Brady does. And, you know, it's why I say winning Super Bowls are saying, hey, this guy's going to win 3 or 4, or this guy's going to win. There's just so many weird little components that go into even getting to a Super Bowl. let alone winning one. That just goes to show you how free, even with a guy as talented as Mahomes or and as good as the Chiefs are, just how truly difficult it is to get there. I mean, even the Bills game last year would have 17 seconds, right? It's just there's a million little things to go into the getting that, and which is why when you get there, appreciate it, because there is zero guarantee, no matter how good you are, that you're going to get back. Because next time it may be your guy shoving someone out of bounds, and you as a quarterback had nothing to do with that.
Well, when I get
The unfortunate part, when you get there, tell me what it's like, because you know I never even saw the playoffs.
I will
but
appreciate
the unfortunate
it.
Thing is Asai, what people don't see or don't bother to go back and see is he literally made the play. The two previous plays.
Yeah.
Like, he was the one that put him into third down on that. Like, had a beautiful tackle in the backfield. And then as Patrick Mahomes was stepping up, he was the one to get in. Like, the things that he did throughout the course of the game to even put his team in that position, and the things that he did specifically on that drive to put the team in that position. I mean, he played so well, other than that one mistake, and that's the unfortunate part.
On the other side, if you had hung around a little bit in the NFL a little longer, maybe you and you were in San Francisco, you would have had a shot at a Super Bowl there.
Started.
All I would have had to do is hold on for another, you know, a good 22 years, and I could have been the start of that.
Have you ever seen a quarterback situation that bad?
No, I haven't. It's beyond ridiculous. And my obviously, you're so frustrated for Brock as a person, right? Like he was literally staring the opportunity of a lifetime in the face, and to have something like that happen is beyond cruel. But from a personal fan perspective, I was disappointed I didn't get to see the game. Game that we wanted to see. Like, this would have been the opportunity to see if Brock Purdy, like, even with as well as he played, like, you can sit there and say, Brock Purdy, and this is fact, the 49ers won because of Brock Purdy in many cases this year, not in spite of him, right? This was the talk when he was coming in, like, okay, like you're still going to be able to win because your defense is so good and Kyle Shanahan's so brilliant. But Purdy went in and played fantastic football. This was the pressure cooker that everybody wanted to see. Like, this would have been the opportunity for him to look. Had he gone out and beaten the Eagles, we talked about this last year, like, or talked about it in years past. I don't see how they could have put Trey Lance back in there, or taken Purdy out.
Yeah.
Right? He was playing so well, and I wanted to see him do it in a pressure cooker situation against the Eagles on the road, you know, with everything on the line. That would have been kind of one of those Tom Brady launching effects for his career. But instead, he had, a major injury. Then they had to bring the guy from University of San Diego in. I mean, God, I think I played against Josh.
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
it's well-traveled.
Man.
Yeah.
All right, let's put a pin in it. And when we come back with Joey Harrington, we will talk about the retirement of Tom Brady. But I also want to get your opinion on how the Ducks are doing recruiting with Lanning, you hosting the big event. So we'll get to those items when we return with our friend Joey Harrington, here brought to you by Mods PDX on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. Now, you said you hosted the Ducks recruiting event, and was that in Eugene or Portland?
No, it was in Portland. I was at Nike.
Oh, yep. Okay. Number 8 ranked class. What's kind of the scuttle on what Lanning and company are doing in recruiting? It looks like a lot of defense.
It is. And I would be lying to you if I told you I was able to go player by player and, you know, tell you their stats and what they bring to the table, right? Because I think we've talked about I don't care about recruiting, right? Or I should say I don't care about hyping up 17-year-old kids and filling their head with nonsense, right? Once they get onto Autzen, once they, you know, move away from mom and doing, you know, someone doing their laundry and, you know, start to figure things out, then, you know, let's have a conversation. But here's what I'll say about Dan Lanning and that whole staff in recruiting. They're really, really good at it because they care, because there's a connection, because they understand the value of it. And it's not just the it's not just the immediate, or I should say the high school kids coming out who are signing letters of intent, but it's also building relationships through this recruiting process so that a guy like Birch from South Carolina, who Dan, you know, recruited at Georgia, he still has a good relationship with him, right? Like when you are being recruited, at least, you know, when I was being recruited, you could tell the guys who were telling the truth, and you could versus the guys who are just, you know, spinning up a story to get you to get you to hop on a plane and come to their school, right? You could tell the guys who were the phonies. Dan Lanning is not a phony. Dan, like, there's a genuineness to interacting with him. And that helps with immediate recruiting. That helps with sitting in a parent's living room and saying, I'm going to take care of your kids. And that also helps down the road with this new transfer portal to say, you know, that player who may have gone somewhere else and said, hey, you know what, this wasn't the right decision. I want to go back and do this again. Hey, I remember getting recruited by Dan Lanning. I appreciated him. I respected him. He was honest with me. And now you're back in the driver's seat for that player who's potentially going to transfer. Like, that was what I got out of the recruiting event, is that, and I was a bit surprised. Like, the room was filled with Marcus, Hieronis, Sabrina, you know, God, Jeff Schwartz, Jeremiah Johnson, Dennis Dixon, like, you literally, you know, all of the best, D'Anthony, like, all these guys, all the, you know, Verone McKinley, Javon Holland, Kayvon Thibodeau, like, all of the players came back for this because they're part of a family, right? They're part of something that they understand is bigger than themselves, and they enjoy being part of that family. And to see how Dan has just so seamlessly fit in and embraced it and I don't want to say pitched that to the recruits, but like opened that up, opened that door to them. There's nothing phony about him. And that's why I feel so good about this class that he's bringing in, is because he's bringing in the right type of people. And yeah, they got to be talented people, and you know, awesome that it's the number 8 recruiting class and in the country. You know, I would say, I think we had this conversation a couple times before with Mario's classes. Were a couple of Mario's classes in the top 10? Like, I'm hesitant to really buy in and say, like, oh my gosh, you know, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. But what I will say is that the guy who is doing it the right way, and is doing it in a way that is sustainable and is in the best interest of this program and this university. And you got to love him for it.
I mean, all the coaches that we've interacted with at Oregon over the years, you know, and Bilotti was, you know, kind of obviously the gold standards there forever, but then into Chip and Helfrich, and, you know, you go on down the list, and I wouldn't say anyone, well, maybe Willie kind of had a little rub me the wrong way, but Lanning is by far the most engaging and personable. And easily liked. I mean, Helfrich was a super nice guy, but he wasn't a big personality. Lanning gets you. I mean, the first, you know, 2 or 3 times you talk to him, you just kind of get the sense that he's one of those guys that you want to be around, that people want to have conversations with. There is a there is a and they're all good recruiters, but he does come across a bit different, at least in our brief interactions. And can you tell me, why was D'Anthony Thomas wearing some sort of Native American smock? can you give me the lowdown on that?
Okay, so here's what I'll say. I don't know D'Anthony very well, but I had an interesting conversation about his experience in the metaverse and how he is working with virtual reality surgeries in the metaverse and how that is applicable to us as humans.
What?
Yeah, I think that's where the shaman smock comes in. He's, I saw the photo and there was like all the great Oregon running backs and it was like a ridiculous group. And then I saw him and I was like, what is happening there? And I think I have a better understanding now of why the holistic smock came out. Enough said. Understand.
Hey, to each their own.
To each their own.
The guy was amazing. He's a fantastic person. But I don't quite, I will say our conversation left me with more questions than answers.
Yeah, I've encountered people like that, and you're just like, well, they're on a different wavelength, and it's not
Hey, you do you, man. You do you.
You think Tom Brady's done for good?
Yeah. Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed. I'm sad.
Why?
Part of me, God, this is a whole, it's a bigger conversation. Like, and we've talked about this. I don't ever like to see people's personal lives, I don't say fall apart, but there's a toll that football takes, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody was saying this year, oh, what's going on with him and Mike Evans? You know, he can't, you know, he's missing throws and he's, I saw a report a week or two ago that he, over the course of the season, he lost 15 pounds, right? That I've been in that situation where life is weighing on you so much that it takes a physical toll. And that's what I've been trying to say to people is like, let's not forget that when he took 3 weeks off during training camp, it was because his family was on the brink of divorce. You know, that's not something that anybody takes lightly. And that's not something that anybody, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And to have that experience be his last year and to see the toll that it took on him, I think personally, it makes me sad because he's a good person. You know, our interactions had always been, I mean, he didn't need to, Joe Schmo. I mean, he's the GOAT, but he was always so respectful. And then just as a fan too, like, I know he had more in the tank. At least he could go to San Francisco. Had he not had his, you know, the type of year that he did with his personal issues, he would have been able to go to San Francisco, and I think he could have won another Super Bowl. I do. I genuinely believe that. And so it's tough for me as someone who has admired him as a player for so long to see that come to an end. You know, part of that is, you know, not my own mortality, but like, that's he was kind of like, you know, with the aside from maybe like Mason Crosby, like he was my last connection probably to the NFL. Like he was the last guy where I could say, hey kids, hey Jack Emmett, hey, look at this picture of me getting my butt kicked by Tom Brady. Yep, see, your dad actually did do that. And in a weird way, it's kind of like another way of saying, yeah, like we're all getting older and life is moving on. And for Tom, it never seemed to move on, but, you know, it catches up with everybody, right?
You don't think there's a chance, you know, if his life, you know, changes, gets better, I don't know, he gets in a better space that he, you know, football calls again?
Nah, he's not the kind of guy that's going to do it again. That's not going to, I should say that's going to unretire again, right? You know, for all the reasons that we'll never know and why he retired and unretired last year, he's not the kind of guy who's going to do it. He's going to unretire a second time. That's, you know, he's got the next chapter that he's moving on to, and you could kind of see, and I think the way that he did it this time, like, hey, I'm done. You know, that there was no, it just sounded different. And I think that there was a sadness that didn't exist last time. Last time it was a bit more robotic, yeah, I think.
That's right.
Less personal.
Seems
This time there was a sadness to it. And I think that's maybe why I'm kind of sad, is because you could sense the sadness in his video. You know, the guy that has meant so much. I mean, it's truly, I mean, you can have a conversation, you know, of putting the guy like Jerry Rice and, you know, but I don't think that there is anybody who has been greater at their position in the game of football. And to see that come to an end is, yeah, I mean, that's.
Yeah. Well, only 7 titles. I mean. Yeah.
10 Super Bowls, though.
Yep.
10 Super Bowls.
It's
he
crazy.
Was literally in the Super Bowl every other year for 2 decades.
We were doing Tom Brady facts yesterday. He never played where they were out of playoff contention ever in his career.
What?
Yeah, that's true.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I've played a half a season out of playoff contention.
Well, I was, you know, it was the Lions. I was about to say half a career, but you know, didn't want to be mean. But yeah, no, he even this year, you know, they weren't that good, but they made the playoffs. Yep. So
never a snap.
Never one time did he take a snap where they didn't have the playoffs in sight. It's crazy. All right, sir. Great talking to you. Next week we'll get your hot takes on the Super Bowl.
Oh, I got hot takes, all right.
I know you do. That's why we have you on the final Football Friday next week with Joey Harrington. Thank you. We'll talk to you then.
All right. See you guys.
Joey Harrington each Friday here at 5:30 on The Fan is brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. Coming up next in the club, Chinese spy balloons.
To shoot or not to shoot?
That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.